And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well, thank God. Baruch Hashem.
That's good. So the first Passover show.
That's right.
For this year, of course, we had before.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing is there is so much to talk about on Passover, on Pesach, that you can talk about it every single year, and you're still talking about different things all the time, because there is just so much. So I was thinking about what we'll go on to discuss today is a little bit of Passover
preparation,
preparations. and knowledge base, Passover insights a little bit. We'll discuss, what is Chometz, what is the difference between Ashkenazic, Sephardic, Jews in regards with rice and legumes, how do we get rid of the chametz for Passover, how do we clean for Passover, if Passover happened about 3,000 years ago, how does it relate to me, what's the deal, why can't we have chametz, is chametz such a bad thing, how can we have chametz all year round, and so on and so forth. So we're going to try and touch upon different topics, and then in the next shows we'll talk about different foods and the meanings of why we do certain foods on Passover and so on and so forth. Now on Passover, we are not allowed to eat, see, own, or derive any benefit from chametz. The question is what is chametz? And chametz is any food that's made of one of the five grains, wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye. And water that has been allowed to ferment and rise to make it bread, that is called chametz. Now any food that contains grain or grain derivatives can be and often is chametz. In other words, practically speaking, for anyone that wants to make sure, any processed food that is not certified kosher for Passover may potentially include chametz ingredients.
Yeah.
So when a person goes out and shops and buys stuff for Pesach, you look on the ingredients that it says, OU and then a P next to it, or OK, or COR, Passover, whatever it may be, but you want to make sure that it has Passover with it. Now, the question is if something is chametz, then isn't there a general rule that everything is chametz? But we see that there are some people that, for example, the Sephardim, that will eat kitniyot, rice and legumes on Passover, and we would not. And the reason is because in the medieval Jewish times, the sages placed a ban on eating legumes, kitniyot, because they are very similar in texture to chametz. Even bread can be made out of their flour. So people might assume that if, for example, cornbread can be eaten on Passover, then wheat or rye can also as well be eaten. So they put on this law that because people might get confused, that they say that you're not allowed to eat it. And this prohibition includes rice, beans, and corn. Now this was accepted unanimously by Ashkenazic Jews. However, many Sephardic Jews continue to eat kitniyot on Passover. So therefore, if you're Sephardic, you speak to your rabbi to determine your family and community tradition. Now the prohibition is only with regards to consumption of kitniyot. But if I have rice and all that type of thing in my house, I don't have to destroy them or burn them or sell them or so on before Passover, because they're not chametz. Because if they would be chametz, even the Sephardim wouldn't be able to eat it. It's just a different custom in regards to who took on certain things.
Yeah.
Now the question is how do I get rid of my chametz for Passover? And really there are six basic steps. There's one, there's cleaning the home. There's setting up the Passover kitchen. Selling the chametz. Searching for the chametz the night beforehand. Burning the chametz. and nullifying the chametz, saying certain prayers while we're burning it, nullifying faith is chametz that I know about or I don't see or I do not know about. I consider them that as though they are like nothing, they are dust, and they are worthless to me. So those are, in essence, the short versions of, I mean, in each one there's more explanation, but these are the main essence of how we get rid of our chametz on Passover. Now the question comes out to be is, how do I clean for Passover? Now, cleaning for Passover means that I give my home a thorough top-to-bottom cleaning, vacuum the carpets and the floor, wipe the kitchen, clean the cupboards and bookshelves, and we get into all those hard-to-reach places under the sofa cushions, under the bed, move aside the furniture and the kitchen appliances to get behind and underneath. And the reason is because we want to make sure that there's no chametz there. We want to make sure that there's nothing that's left there, that it comes on Pesach time, that I happen to move my microwave and, I found bread. Because on Passover is one of the times out of all the other holidays ever that I am obligated and I'm going to be, and I'm transgressing even for the smallest crumb that is in my possession. So the bottom line is that if the cookie crumb could be hiding there in a certain place, we go after it. And we find it and we get rid of it before Passover. Other places that need to be cleaned is, you know, the office, the car, you know, your pocket, anything that has you have ownership on, the lease or the right of use. So in other words, cleaning your car doesn't mean taking out all the carpets and turning your car upside down and burning your car. It means just going, which is a good excuse for us. At least a great excuse for me is I go once a year. I go to the vacuum place,
yeah,
and I vacuum my car, and my car is clean. Gives me the good ability to do that. So those are important ways of cleaning and getting ready for Passover.
Now, according to the halacha, they used to look for the chametz with the candle.
Correct. That is, we're going to get to that soon. Absolutely.
Please.
The night before Passover, in other words, this year Passover is Monday night.
Yeah.
Comes the night before, and Sunday evening, after sunset, we go and we search for the chametz. Reason we search for the chametz is because we want to make sure that the house at that period of time should be clean. There shouldn't really be you should be in the middle of changing over your Passover dishes and so on and so forth. Some people have already been cooking for Passover, but there really isn't chametz and the unleavened bread and the cookies and everything hanging out everywhere. As now is the time that I search for the chametz, and I take the people have accustomed to switch off the lights, and you go with your candle, and you look, and you might find a crumb here, you might find it. It's all a symbolic way of looking for chametz, because generally, you know, if you've done a good job in cleaning your house, you're not going to rarely find any chametz on the floor. Nevertheless, we still do. We make a special blessing. We go out with a candle and a feather and a spoon and a bag. Obviously, a brown bag, not a plastic bag, because we're going to have to burn it the next day. And it's a good experience for the kids. The kids are coming with you and they're looking, and it gets them into the idea of that we're going to search for the chametz, we're going to get rid of the chametz, so when it comes time Passover, we're clean. And the kids love it. It's a great time to get them involved and let them see the great tradition. And there's a lot of people that have the custom that they put pieces of bread in newspaper around, you know, the room that you're standing in at that moment of time making the blessing. And the reason is because if I make a blessing and I use God's name and so on and so forth, whatever I'm making the blessing on, it needs to be available right away. In other words, if I'm going to make it a blessing on an apple, and I'm sitting in my dining room and I say, and I have no apple in front of me, and I tell my wife, please bring an apple from the fridge. Then she goes to the fridge until I get it. It's 2 minutes later. So in essence, what I've just done is I've said a blessing, but I've made a blessing in vain. because I don't have the apple with me. I can't just make a blessing and decide now, oh, let me go and find my apple. I need to have my apple, make my blessing, and eat my apple right away. So when I make a blessing that I'm searching for the chametz, and my house is spotlessly clean, I'm going to make now a blessing in vain, because I'm not going to find any chametz anywhere. Yeah. Therefore, I take those 10 pieces of bread, and you put them in your living room, your dining room, wherever, making sure, remembering, people write it down, where exactly you put it. And the first minute when you're making the blessings and start searching, you'll find that a piece of bread, and now I'm not making my blessing in vain. And you get the kids excited and you look for, oh, I found this piece of bread, oh, I found here, I found there. And then you find, you make sure you find all 10 of them, because you don't want to be left missing one.
Yeah.
And then the next day, you go and you burn your chametz. Which that time, at that period of time, when you burn the chametz, because I believe the time that we're allowed to eat chametz till is about 11:30, and you're allowed to burn your chametz till 12:30. Once you burn that chametz at 12:30, Passover unofficially has started, and therefore I'm not allowed to eat chametz for another 8 days. That is the period of time that you search for chametz, and when you you get rid of it and you find it, so on and so forth. Now, the question really is that if chametz represents such evil, you know, don't have chametz, you got to get rid of it, then why am I allowed to eat chametz all year round?
The year, yeah.
You know, if something is bad, it's bad. If something is good, then okay. And the reason is because if you go and look, what's the difference between bread and matzah? Bread rises big. You know, it gives a different form. Matzah is very flat. And that represents a person. Because you have an ego of a person and you have humility.
Mm-hmm.
Chametz is all about rising. If your dough of bread doesn't rise, it's worthless. It's a flop. You can't eat it. It doesn't work. And so therefore, that represents someone that's an ego. Someone, an egotistic person. What's an ego? An ego is a person that rises, makes himself big. Matzah, on the other hand, is flat. Doesn't do anything. That shows on a person of humility. So pride in itself is not a bad thing for a person to have. It depends how it is used. And Jewish pride, used correctly, is a good thing. So on Pesach, we learn to destroy the negative aspect of the trait of having an ego. So once Pesach is over, and we have hopefully learned the lesson and applied it to our lives, we can once again eat chametz. Why? Because we understand, and I was just talking about more on the spiritual level, that we understand that even though I may rise, even though every normal person has an ego, but nevertheless, depends how do I use my ego?
Yeah.
Do I use my ego that I'm on top of the world and I'm better than you and you are a piece of garbage and you are nothing? Or do I use my ego to be able to help other people, to bring me to a higher level that I can have an effect on someone else, teach someone else, help someone else?
Be a leader.
I'm sorry?
Be a leader.
Exactly. And that's why, one of the reasons, on Pesach we don't eat chametz. Throughout the year you're allowed to eat chametz, but we're hoping that the lessons of Pesach have an effect on the person. Now, we have, which we'll end off with this, is that there are names for Passover. And Passover has three names. It has the name that people sometimes hear, Pesach, which means to skip or to leap, referring to the fact that the houses of the Jews were skipped over while the firstborn of the Egyptians were killed. And this is how Jews refer to the holiday. Then you have the other one, the holiday of Matzot. And this is the primary name used by the Torah to describe the holiday, because when the Jews were leaving Egypt, The only thing that they were able to do at that period of time was able to bake the enough minutes that they had.
And that's why it didn't
on leavened bread.
Yeah.
Correct. And then the third one is the season of our freedom. This is how the holiday is called in the special prayers and the kiddush for Passover. So these are the three names that we have for Passover. Hopefully.
Chag HaCherut.
Correct. So hopefully next week or the next time that we're going to talk about Passover, we will talk about a little bit, you know, what are the reasons we have all the different foods, the wine, the salt water, the matzah, the bitter herbs, the charoset. Maybe I'll do a little bit of research and or ask my wife, and maybe we can find a good recipe.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That we can discuss in regards to that. So that's the beginning and the start of Passover. And, you know, Passover comes, and people, you know, want to know if there's a Seder or if there's no Seder. You know, if they have family, they don't have family, they don't have anywhere to go. But they should be rest assured that Windsor this year is covered, which is a great thing. You know, the first night we have a big community Seder at the, in the Shah Social Hall, which is catered by Mazal. We get a beautiful crowd, and we sing songs. We have a handmade Shmurah Matzah, best matzah that is used on Passover, and there's Haggadot in English and Hebrew, and great food, obviously, and the different choices of wine and grape juice. And that's March 25th, Monday evening. We need to RSVP, so you can call the Shah's office. You can email me, windsorrabbi@gmail.com. And that's for Monday. And I believe also Tuesday, there's another Seder. Right?
That's the second Seder, yes.
The second Seder, which
exactly
is going to be
at Congregation Beth El. And you have to RSVP. I don't know till when, but if you want to be at the second Seder at Congregation Beth El, please call the office.
Very good. So everyone is covered for Passover. Beautiful.
That's great.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the Afikoman and the kids' job on Passover. We have a lot of talk.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Rabbi, I want to thank you.
Thank you, and
We will talk not next week, the week after. Next week will be a recorded show.
Okay, so the week after we'll talk, so maybe we'll have to
talk
a little bit longer because
we can
there's
do
so
that.
Much to so much to discuss about that.
We
Passover.
Will do it in two parts, if it will work for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Have a good week. Shabbat shalom.
Same to you.
Bye-bye.